Well, if you have your Bibles with you this afternoon, go ahead and turn with me to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, our sermon text will be verses 46 through 56. Before we read God's word and hear the preaching of it, let's go before Him once again in prayer. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time now to where we can come to your word and consider its depths, consider its treasures, consider its truths, consider you, O Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that your Spirit would work in our hearts and minds even now, that you would teach us, that you would instruct us and grow us and encourage us in our knowledge and wonder of Christ, and in our faith. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 46. This is the very word of God. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. Amen. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. Well, beloved, when God blesses and is at work in our lives, when God extends mercy, we are filled with joy and we are moved to praise him. And this was true for Mary as well. Last week, we considered the angel Gabriel's announcement to Mary that she would give birth to Jesus, the Messiah. And so here was this poor and lowly young teenage girl in nothing Nazareth who received a glorious message from an angel of the Lord. And though she was initially troubled by Gabriel's greeting, after hearing the message, God gave her peace and humility to do his will. And this afternoon, we will consider Mary's song, the song that she sang in the presence of Elizabeth. And in the context of today's passage, we find an exchange between Mary and Elizabeth. After Mary was told that she would conceive and did conceive, she went to visit her cousin Elizabeth. Elizabeth was at that time 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist. Mary spends 3 months with her, with Mary's time there ending just prior to the birth of John the Baptist, and then returns home, then being 3 months pregnant with Jesus. Now, the only discussion that we have in the scriptures regarding what took place in those 3 months is the exchange between Elizabeth and Mary when Mary arrived at Zacharias and Elizabeth's home. And we read of Elizabeth's joy in verses 39 through 45 of this chapter. But then we see Mary's response, her song of praise, in verses 46 through 56. This song is often referred to as the Magnificat, and this is taken from the word magnify in verse 46. Mary says, "My soul magnifies the Lord." And literally, this word means to extol. So in other words, Mary declared the glories of God. Further, Mary's song is really a God-centered song of mercy. It's a God-centered song of mercy, specifically of her thankfulness for God's mercies. Mary's song isn't about her, but it's all about him. And in today's text, we will consider Mary's praise for personal mercies that the Lord had given her in verses 46 through 49a, and then her praise to God for his mercy, even evidenced in his character in verses 49b through 53, and then praise for corporate mercies that the Lord extends to his people in verses 54 and 55. And so in verses 46 and 47, as Mary began to lift up her voice in praise, note that she said that her praise involved both her soul and her spirit. In her praise, she magnifies the Lord from the depth of her soul, and the soul is the seat of human personality and understanding. The qualities which make us human beings belong to the soul, the intellect, thought, ideals, love, emotion, understanding, decision, and other similar qualities are all associated with the soul. The spirit is the seat of the affections. And her understanding and her affections were wrapped up in her magnifying the Lord and rejoicing in God, her Savior. Remember that Gabriel, in verse 31 of this chapter, told her that she would be with child of the Holy Spirit. She was to name that child Jesus. And so Mary understood that he was the Savior. She understood that he was the Messiah. And notice in her rejoicing that the mother of our Lord needed our Lord. She wasn't another mediator, as some teach. She wasn't a co-redemptrix. As is true of all other children of God, Mary had to come to God through the mediator, Jesus Christ. She rejoiced in God, her Savior. We also see in these verses that Mary gloried first in what she had in common with us and all believers. She gloried first and foremost in her salvation. She gloried in who God is and all that he had done for her. You know, Mary's mouth was consistent with her heart. As she was once troubled and confused, she here magnified God. She magnified God from the depth of her soul. And now she declared the glories of God with her mouth. And her mouth reflected her heart. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We recall James 5:13b, where James said, "Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms." If anyone is cheerful, beloved, we are to sing. We are to praise God consistently with our hearts and our mouths. If we are truly cheerful, we are to demonstrate that with our praise. And so Mary did when she speaks to Elizabeth. She praised God with her whole heart. Remember, Jesus said in Mark chapter 7, verse 6, that the Pharisees were much like those spoken of by the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 29:13. They worshiped God with their lips, but their hearts were far from him. So my question to you is there consistency between your heart and mouth today? Even as we sit in this place and this time, worshiping the Lord, are you just giving lip service to God as you worship, or are you engaged in sincere, wholehearted praise, extolling the Lord, magnifying the Lord for his person and work, for his love and for his mercies to you in Christ? I know it's a challenge sometimes. The difficulties in our lives, the distracting concerns and cares in our minds get in the way. Maybe you're wrestling with his providence. Sometimes the disconnect may be troubling and embarrassing even. But yet we find the importance, the example of Mary, but yet the importance of our hearts and our mouths being consistent in true, sincere, wholehearted worship of the living God. For he is worthy. He indeed is perfectly worthy of all of our praise, of all of our adoration. And here we find Mary didn't magnify God with her lips without her heart being engaged. Her heart was fully engaged and bubbled over with praise, praise that was expressed in song. And why? Well, we see the reason in 48 and 49. She said, "For he has regarded the lowly estate of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me." Mary gives us three reasons. First, she praises God for his favor to her. She praises him for her future reputation, so to speak. She praises God for his goodness. "For he has regarded the lowly estate of his maidservant," she says. God chose Mary to have this honor, notwithstanding her low estate of being poor and socially unimportant in Nazareth. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27 and following, that most believers come from this type of estate. He says, "Not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. God has ordinarily chosen the weaker." And so God regarded Mary. He condescended to her to reveal himself to her through the angel Gabriel and to communicate his plan for her. And then Mary says, "Henceforth, all generations shall call me blessed." Note, Mary doesn't say that she would be called worthy, because she wasn't, and she knew that. Mary didn't say, "Finally, I'll get the recognition I deserve. This is great." She didn't say, "Finally, I'm going to have the big name around town. Even around the world," she didn't say that either. She said that she would be called blessed, as she was the recipient of God's blessing and grace and mercy. Remember this: when God is at work, the knowledge of and praise of his work is to be passed down to the generations that follow. It's not just for us, but it's for the generations that follow as well, generation to generation. We see examples of this in the scriptures. Psalm 78, verses 1 through 4, there we read, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide from them. We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done." And so not only would Mary be called blessed in her generation, but she would be called blessed in all generations of believers thereafter. When the gospel is proclaimed, people will hear about Mary. They will hear, and they will consider the unique blessing that God granted her. Even so, we recognize this today as God has declared it in his word. Mary was blessed by God. Children, remember these words that you hear today of God's great work in Mary. She was blessed to give birth to and raise the incarnate Son of God. Hear her joy. Hear her praise in glorifying God. God's people are abundantly satisfied with the blessings he gives. And Mary goes on to say, "For he who is mighty has done great things for me." So God, she recognizes, has considered her lowly estate. And Mary also says, "For he is mighty who has done great things for me." In fact, Mary's song is full of scripture. And Mary here refers to Psalm 71, verse 19, where the psalmist describes praise to God for doing great things. And he says, "O God, who is like you?" For Mary, this isn't something that she did for herself. This is something that God has done for her. And it was great and marvelous at that. And so she praises God for the mercies that he extended to her. Then Mary also praises God for his mercy, his character, in verse 49b through 53. She begins to praise God for who he is in addition to what he's done for her. She has traced the stream back to the fountain. She recognizes and praises God for his mercy, for his holiness, and his power. And she says, "And holy is his name, and his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation." Again, we see that multi-generational language. She says, "He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty." So she first praises him for his holiness. God's name being holy refers not only to moral purity, but also to his transcendent majesty. He is the Creator God. He is above his creation. He is majestic and glorious in all that he is. And this God has shown her mercy. And she says, "And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation." This God who is holy is also imminent. He has come down to his people. He is merciful to those who fear him. And this mercy is from generation to generation. Remember what Exodus 20, verse 6 that we read not long ago tells us, that God shows mercy to thousands, to those who love him and keep his commandments. And so Mary here again sings about Psalm 103, 17 through 18, where David speaks of God's mercy and it being from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. O parents, may we be diligent to teach our children the ways, the words, and the things of the Lord, the very word of God. But Mary also praises him for his power. God indeed is powerful. He is supremely powerful. He is omnipotent. He has shown strength with his arm, she says. He has scattered the proud with in the imagination of their hearts. She sang of the truth in Psalm 98:1 here, where it says, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained him the victory." This God who is merciful and gracious is supremely powerful and will judge. We see throughout redemptive history that when God's people are delivered, his enemies are judged. Mary said in verse 49 that God is mighty. And here we see that God displayed his might and his strength as well with his arm. People full of pride, my friends, often think too highly of themselves and their abilities. They often have high expectations. However, God crosses those expectations. He works against them. As James teaches us, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. He scatters the proud in the imagination of their hearts and brings them low. Literally, the word imagination in the Greek, it means understanding. And this is where it all starts, with pride in our own understanding. The Bible tells us that we cannot lean on our own understanding. Pride starts in thoughts of ourselves and thoughts of plans and schemes that we can carry out so that we would get the glory. But reality, what is true, what is right, is totally flips that on its head. It is God who receives the glory. And we see this time and again, even in Mary's song. It's not about her. It's about him. She who is lowly has been lifted up by the Lord. And yet she lifts him up. She magnifies his name. She praises him for who he is and what he has done. And she goes on. She says that he has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. Here Mary is describing the people of God in contrast to the enemies of God. He puts down the mighty and he fills the hungry. She is also thinking of Psalm 34:10 that says, "The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing." There is great responsibility. There is great blessing in seeking the Lord, beloved. Indeed, that is what we must do every day. We must seek the Lord. And the Lord blesses us. He provides for us. His providence for us is always good. God is showing us through Mary a picture of redemption and judgment. God is the God who raises up and casts down. And Mary praises him as well in verses 54 through 55 as she closes her song to Elizabeth. She praises him for his corporate mercies. John Calvin said that she now speaks of the redemption formerly promised and now granted to the church. She first says God has comforted his people. And secondly, she says that God has remembered his mercy. Because God's compassions fail not, his mercies remain toward us. God's mercy never ends. He is faithful. He is abundantly merciful to his people. Note that Mary said that she knew that the consolation of Israel was coming. The fullness of time was approaching. The Messiah was coming. God had comforted his people, Israel. And further, God remembers his mercy. He displayed his mercy in sending his son. Micah chapter 7, verse 20 says, "You will give truth to Jacob and mercy to Abraham, in which you have swore to our fathers from days of old." What God is saying through Micah is that he would perform what he told Jacob he would perform. It was the same mercy that he swore to Abraham. It was the same mercy that he swore to Noah and other fathers of the old covenant, even the mercy extended to Adam and Eve after their sin in the garden. And so you see that Mary walked by faith. Her faith leaned on the promises of God. Her joy overflowed because of his promises and work. And as we walk by faith, our faith needs to lean on God's promises as well. We need to see that in the coming of Christ, his death, his resurrection was the fulfillment of many prophecies. Indeed, he accomplished everything that needed to be accomplished for our redemption. He paid the price. He paid for our sins. He took the wrath of God upon himself on that cross. that we wouldn't have to. Mary praised the Lord and worshiped him, glorified him for all that he had done for her. May we consider afresh today, even as we do every week, the wonderful work of our Lord Jesus Christ, what he did, who he is, and what he accomplished for us. And indeed, with hope, as Mary had hope, even, and indeed with hope, looking forward to, with anticipation, that which is to come, even that our Lord Jesus is coming again to take us home, that we would be with him in glory. We lean hard on the promises of God. Consider this. Do we know the scriptures like Mary did? Mary's song was full of scripture. She knew the Old Testament scriptures well. She sang them to God. She didn't just mechanically quote scripture, but her whole song is full of scripture. It dominates her song. She saw her role in God's plan of redemption for his people. She knew scripture and took her time to engage her thinking along scriptural lines. Do you know the word of God well and can apply it in your life? We all need to be lifelong students of the word. But as we have the word of God in our hearts, it will affect and direct our thoughts, our words, our prayers, and our praise. Like Mary, are we joyful for the great things that God has done? Oh, he is wonderful. Oh, he is magnificent. He is glorious in all that he is. And he has done so much for us, even in and through our Lord Jesus Christ. He has done so much for us, even in his good providence day by day, his mercies that are new every morning, his grace in our lives, his direction, his guidance, his presence. Do we truly magnify and declare the glories of our Lord? Do we see what God is doing in our lives and the life of the church today? And do we praise him for it? Do we see the great comfort of our God and his covenant faithfulness in sending Jesus the Messiah? Our God is perfect in his covenant faithfulness to us, although we are covenantally unfaithful to him often. He is perfectly faithful to us, and that has been demonstrated time and time again, and here even through the sending of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. May these truths and these words and Mary's song and even the things that we recognize here that need to be present in our own lives, in our own hearts, in our own praise. May God not only comfort us in similar ways, but may God move us and grant us grace indeed to praise him with our whole hearts today and forever. Amen. Let us pray.